You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Things are changing at Michigan's Department of Environmental Quality. It's unveiling a new logo today because the agency is reorganizing and its name is changing starting next week. It will be called the Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy. And folks are already shortening that to EGLE, pronounced Eagle. Joining us now is the department's director, Liesl Clark. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Lester. I'm happy to be here.
So making changes on Earth Day, huh?
Yeah, so that was circumstantial, but how poetic.
I guess so. Well, let's talk about some of the changes. There are several taking place. First of all, you're creating an Office of Climate and Energy. What is that?
Yeah, that's right. So with the reorganization in the executive order, there were a few things that were laid out in front of us. In addition to the Office of Climate and Energy, also creating an Office of Environmental Justice Public Advocate, an Office of the Clean Water Public Advocate. So we're really excited about these new roles. The governor, when she signed the executive order for the reorganization of EAGLE, she also signed an executive directive that joins Michigan to the U.S. Climate Alliance. So this is reinforcing the position that Michigan is in. Michigan is part of the climate discussion. So we will be working on staffing that office up and starting really from a beginning point of doing inventory work. So looking forward to making progress in that world.
So let's talk about some of those other offices that that you're going to be establishing. You're moving the Office of the Great Lakes from the DNR to EAGLE. Why?
So the Office of the Great Lakes actually just moved to DNR. It's not even been there a whole year. When the governor looked at the structure for state government, one of the things that she was really passionate about from an environmental perspective was that the Great Lakes are a common denominator for everything that we do in this state. Because they are that common denominator, she thought it was really important to elevate how we view the role of the Great Lakes in the regulatory structure. And so it was really important to make that part of the department again, and then also to elevate it. And that's why you see, you know, Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy. At the same time, one of the things that I'm truly focused on, as well as my other cabinet members, is making sure that we continue to have really firm cohesion between the departments on policy issues. So, of course, there's a lot of Great Lakes issues that I share with my colleagues at Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, as well as Department of Natural Resources.
Let's talk about those two kind of ombudsman offices you were talking about. Office of Clean Water Public Advocate. What will that office do?
So that office is another opportunity for raising issues from a water perspective. So the idea is that there are a variety of ways to communicate with the department right now, from the traditional to the non-traditional, but adding one more person who can be a resource to help answer questions from within the regulatory structure, but then also somebody who's out there on the front lines, who's visible, who is in communities, and who can easily be tapped as a resource to get questions answered.
So I'm guessing this is in case you have a situation like Flint where the people are complaining because the water is yellow and there's something wrong with it, they actually have somebody they can go directly to and say, hey, there's a problem.
Yeah, you know, Governor Whitmer is really committed to making sure that we've got the best quality drinking water we can have across the state. And so this is another way to make sure that we have a reinforced mechanism to implement that policy goal.
I want to ask, in this office, could people also ask about or tell that office about pollution problems that they're aware of?
Yeah, I mean, we'd be happy to, you know, try to figure out the best way to get that information in whatever way. We also have a pollution hotline, the PEAS hotline. So there's a few different avenues to get into the department, and we'd be happy to take communication whatever way people are comfortable.
Okay, the Environmental Justice Public Advocate. Explain what that is.
So, you know, environmental justice is something that has been worked on through previous administrations in the state. Governor Whitmer felt really, again, really strongly that this needed to be something from the outset. And it's something that is, again, someone on the front lines, somebody in communities who is, in some respects, the face of the department, partnering, of course, with the district offices who are absolutely on the front lines and the face of the department as well. But giving them and community members another place to go to have conversations petitions, to support public hearings, to create another avenue for public dialogue so that there's an opportunity to have a back and forth. You know, we feel really strongly that, you know, environmental justice is a really critical issue, you know, in the 48217 zip code, but also across the state. All 83 counties have, you know, people that we could be communicating with better. And one of the themes from my perspective is, you know, certainly building on the foundation of the department, but, you know, encouraging all of us to look at these types of communication methods and figuring out how to do them better, how to be better at it.
You mentioned that zip code. Let's hone in on that, because not everybody knows that zip code. So why is that zip code an important place to talk about when you're dealing with environmental justice?
Well, 48217 represents the zip code in southwest Detroit that has had some of the largest challenges when it comes to contamination pollution issues. And so that's one that, you know, certainly stands out as a place where, you know, we certainly have already spent a lot of time and a lot of attention, but, you know, we'll continue to do so going forward.
The reputation of the department took a big hit during the Flint water crisis, and it's also been accused of being too cozy with some of the state's big polluters, and including at least one in that zip code you talk about. How do you overcome that? How do you change the corporate culture within an agency to get past that?
So, you know, there's a lot of cultural conversations that are necessary across state government. And I'll tell you, and certainly at the department as well, I'll, you know, share with you a little bit of what I spoke with my entire team about on Wednesday when we did unveil the new logo. Name changes, logos, you know, they're not important. What is important is the work of this department. What is important is our people and the difference that we make every day in the lives of the citizens of Michigan. It's why we get out of bed and choose to work together. What we need to do is we need to do a better job of telling that story externally, and we need to do a better job of communicating with each other internally. Are there places for us to grow and be more successful in our work with the citizens of Michigan? Absolutely, 100%. But I got to say, you know, I'm proud of the work of the people in this department, and I'm proud to be one of them.
One of the issues that popped up during Flint was the lack of transparency and the lack of a good lead to the governor himself at that time. How can you get past that? I mean, if it's in the culture to hide things, that's not good for the agency or the state.
Yeah, so, you know, I wasn't here. I haven't been here for the last 5 years. I don't think that me armchair quarterbacking the last 5 years is very productive. What I would like to focus on is what we need to do going forward. And I know that, you know, the governor's been very committed to this issue of transparency. You know, you look at her initial executive orders right out of the gate, and, you know, it reinforces how she intends to run this administration. And I, of course, 100% intend to follow in that approach. So there are always ways to get better, and there are always communication disconnects to break down. Can I guarantee that we won't ever have big challenges? Absolutely not. You know, in some respects, our job as the department is to go find the problems. That's what we're here for. In fact, you know, changes to the lead and copper rule from 2018 under the previous administration are going to encourage more intense study over the next few months, and making sure that we're on the front line and figuring out, you know, what do we see when we get results back from that more intense study. And it's really is important. That's our job. We're here to find the problems, and I want to encourage people to find the problems.
I don't want to keep dwelling on this, but I want to ask you about the state's big polluters and the agency being too cozy, as has been alleged. We're talking about a refinery and steel mills and Wolverine with the PFAS mess. Has that been a real issue, or is that just a perception?
So I think it's important to understand what the role of the department is. The department's role is to implement statute from a regulatory perspective. So, you know, our job is, you know, when people come with a permit to do what they want to do, our job is to work within the statute in order to understand if they can be permitted to do what they want to do. I also think it's important to define who are our stakeholders. You know, I look at our stakeholders as being fundamentally the citizens of the state of Michigan that reinforces our work to protect public health and the environment. The stakeholders are also a pretty broad group of community groups, also, you know, non-governmental agencies, you know, groups like the Association of County Drain Commissioners, MTA, the Michigan Township Association, Michigan Counties Association. You know, there's a variety of entities that are stakeholders, and the business community are our stakeholders too. We get pulled in a lot of different directions, and I think that it's important to make sure that we are appropriately giving value to those different directions and then acting as is set forth for us within the parameters of statute.
On a lighter note, what are your plans for Earth Day?
Oh, I'm really excited about Earth Day. So on Monday, Earth Day itself, I'm actually spending time, I've been working really hard to have a chance to meet all 1,100 employees in the department, and I am going to be with our office in Warren, which I'm really looking forward to. And then on Wednesday, the quality of life departments, as we call them with shorthand, so it's Ag, Natural Resources, and the New Eagle, we do a shared Earth Day event, and it's been over a decade that this event's been going on. We bring in thousands of school kids to Constitution Hall. Stop by if you're around. So we have thousands of special guests and a variety of different booths and things that the kids can learn about when they're here. And on top of that, we're going to have a couple of extra special guests from the Capitol, as well as some of our legislative friends over here to join us. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Liesl Clark is the director of what will be known as the Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy. You can call it Eagle. Thanks very much for taking the time.
No problem, Lester. Glad to do it.